Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering our show today. He's on the other side of the glass, and he will be doing a wonderful job for us, as usual, on Fridays. Tom is our engineer and producer. It is the 6th of February already, 2015. Hope you had a great week, and looking forward to a good weekend. We're live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we stream the show, and we have the podcast available, so you can really hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com, also the live stream at kvoi.com. Our media partners, we like to give a big shout-out, especially on our Friday show, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, all our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is with us in studio. And joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Her column appears every Thursday in the Star. She also hosts a Newsmakers video series on the Star's website, which is Tucson.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and we also invite you to be a friend of ours on Facebook. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on again. Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good afternoon, Bill.
Before we talk about what the bond committee did, let's talk about some brand new stuff, some brand new news. Today, you are releasing a kind of an updated economic plan for Pima County.
Yes. Today, later, we're sending to the board a economic development plan, and really our plan for 2015 through 2017, the next 3 years, how we guide our public investments, how we deal with trying to grow the local economy and build the tax base back. And our primary emphasis is on getting new employment, getting primary employment into this community, such that we can, in fact, stimulate other parts of the employment, service employment, as well as retail trade and ultimately the residential housing sector.
And people say so many times, such a low-wage town, there are no jobs, the place is going downhill fast. What can this plan do to address some of those concerns?
Well, the plan basically talks about protecting the region's largest employers, and the largest private employer we have is Raytheon. We're following through on the buffers for Raytheon to give them the opportunity to expand, to bring more employees into this region in that particular company. We're talking about doing things such as taking county property that we have and offering it for sale or lease at appropriate rates to new employers who come in to the community or agree to come into the community. Just recently, we landed a new West Coast distribution center for TJ Maxx and Home Goods, and so those kind of incremental approaches talk about building our employment back. Ultimately, we're most interested in building the tax base back to what it was before the recession.
So that sounds like economic incentives.
It's economic incentives. It's we talk about issues that we call it investment. One of the things that we'll talk about in a minute is bonds. County bonds are a way in which a community invests in itself, and if it invests in economic development, it can strengthen the attractiveness. We're in a competitive business, and we need to understand that we're competing with other states for new employers and new employees. And once we realize that we have to make those investments, we'll compete.
Here's Sarah.
We've heard year after year after year local governments talking about economic development, investments, things like that. First question is, do you ever get tired of talking about these things year after year? And then what is new specifically in this plan that hasn't been in other plans?
I think, one of our primary focuses is always in the tax base. So we're concerned about it. Historically, we've kind of sat back and passively let others take the lead, whether it be a private organization or, the municipalities. And I think what we decided that when we saw the significant impact on the tax base based on the recession, we had to do whatever we could to actually move the needle. And that moving the needle is investing our own money, for example, in the Raytheon buffer, having the region invest $15 million in relocating use access roadway. We purchased property where we can actually expand campus-type employment environments at I-10 and Sunset Boulevard. What's new in this plan is we really have taken a much broader approach to our international competitiveness and how our relationships are with Mexico, how they are with Canada, and frankly, a trading partner that you don't hear much about, South Korea. So we've got some significant inroads in the areas of what we call logistics and logistics centers around Tucson International Airport, investing in the emerging internal port of Tucson. So there's just a 13 different chapters in this new plan that talks about what we can do collectively and individually to grow our primary employment, protect our major existing employers, and really enhance tourism, because tourism is part of the economic development package as we see today with the gem show.
Do you think that the relationship between the county and the city of Tucson, whether as entities being separate but having similar goals, and then the conflicts over the years and the working relationship, is that something that affects our economic development, our how we're positioning ourselves, how we're seen, and what we can get done?
Well, I certainly hope not. I mean, I know the city and the county, we have one objective. And for example, if we cause a new employer to locate to this region, frankly, the county doesn't care whether it's in Marana or a valley or the city of Tucson or the unincorporated area. It's still in Pima County. And so each of the municipalities are part of Pima County. And so we want to encourage everyone to continue to work together to get that new employment, to be competitive. And so it sometimes takes both agencies, in this case the county and the city, to make offers that increase our competitiveness to cause a new employer to locate here as opposed to New Mexico or California or Colorado or Texas.
Or Mesa.
Pima County, the bond committee met this morning, approved a $640 million proposal that now will go to the Board of Supervisors to decide whether there will be a public vote in November. This is pared down, isn't it, Chuck Huckleberry, from an original proposal that was like $888 million?
When the bond committee concluded their kind of public input and review of all the projects, they had a list that was $887 million. We indicated that it was likely that the tax base could not support that level of debt and keep the tax rate at its cap, and it's been a voluntary property tax rate cap that's been selected by the supervisors. What we have done is said it's probably about as much as you can actually sell and keep that cap is $640 million. What the committee did today is, I think, just really realize that cap and now understand that they really have to go back and look at how to put together packages and proposals and specific projects within that. The chair, vice chair, and I put forth a proposal, and all it was a point of starting. Here's an idea. Committee, you now need to weigh in on this. You need to review it. Jurisdictions, same thing. And even the interest groups that had specific programs or projects that they were interested in, they also need to kind of come back and say, what do they think? So I think we're a long way from having a consensus on a bond issue, I think. Whether we have a bond issue this year, I think remains in doubt. And it probably, and I can almost say certainly, will not happen unless there's very strong community consensus and not a great deal of dissension about what goes to the voters in a ballot question.
What do you think would be of the list? What would be, now that the Pima Animal Care Center was its own issue and that voters supported last time, what is like the marquee project of this bond proposal?
Well, I would say there are two marquee projects. One is just public parks in general. The committee heard from just countless people about how inadequate our public parks are and how they need to be expanded and improved. So I think the big emphasis will be on public parks spread out throughout the community and throughout the region. I think the committee also heard strongly and feels strongly that they need to take a more proactive role in investing in economic development, things that drive this community forward with regard to employment and the tax base. And so I think for the very first time, the committee actually considered a category called economic development. In the past, we kind of worked around the edges. You might have a road or two that could be considered that, or you had an enhancement of a tourism element. Here, they actually took the time to actually talk about economic development.
And speaking of roads, will it fix our roads?
It won't fix our roads, and that's probably going to be one of the hugely debated issues about whether or not we ought to levy a property tax to fix our roads, or versus, you know, should we raise the gas tax? The debate is hot and heavy. You know, I favor a gas tax because that's closer to the user. A property tax typically has little to do with the quality of our roads.
But the gas tax, is that, that's not something the county can do.
That's correct. We need to, you know, basically talk to the state. This state has not raised gas taxes in 24 years. The Arizona legislature between 1960 and 1990 raised it 9 separate times. They haven't done it yet. And so, you know, what we need to do is face facts. We need to increase the user tax that supports our transportation system.
Okay, we're going to take our break here. It's exactly 12:15. Chuck Huckleberry will stick around for another segment. We will welcome your calls and always do at 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment, Chuck Huckleberry is here. He'd like to hear from you. And whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, Mr. Huckleberry is always a good sport about fielding the questions. Sarah also sticks around. We'll be right back. Right now, Tom, that's great. Little birds music. On a Friday afternoon, you read my mind. I could use a little of that 8 miles high right now.
Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, it's the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Also, a legislative update with a newsmaker interview with State Representative Chris Ackerley. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. And you can always find us at buckmastershow.com anywhere in the world for live streaming, podcasts, and audio archive. So you want to be a rock and roll singer. Then. There it is. Okay. Rock and roll star. All right. Birds. Yes.
That's you, Bill.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I always wanted to be a rock and roll star. Even
you
had
are?
had a drum set and really liked the Birds when they first came out. When I first saw them in Chicago in summer of 1965, I thought they were really cool. They were kind of the American answer to the Beatles.
They're incredible musicians.
Yeah, they really are. That's Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star, and Chuck Huckleberry is with us. We haven't talked about Mr. Huckleberry's musical preferences today, but we've got other stuff to talk about. Like coming up Tuesday, the very controversial proposal that would prohibit the hiring of tobacco users in Pima County. This is something Mr. Huckleberry feels very strongly about, but whether or not it will pass the board, that's kind of in doubt. But you had an op-ed piece in The Star today. You really think this is good?
Well,
a good
Bill,
deal.
It's a difficult position to be in, and I think our biggest concern, or my biggest concern, is that the county has, and the county is involved and has a public health mission. And it's fairly clear, unmistakable evidence over, I think, 60 years of data that smoking causes premature death and incidence of disease and medical expenses that if you didn't smoke, you wouldn't have. And I think we'd be a healthier community if we tried to do whatever we could to reduce that risk and hazard. It's in our particular case, I make proposals, the board makes decisions. And in this particular case, I've said we would be better off, we would be helping our public health mission, and we would be reducing the cost of the taxpayers who are effectively paying for the medical insurance premium of our employees if we didn't employ smokers. Now we're going to do everything we can to have our existing employees who smoke try and quit. And, we have a number of programs. We're going to redouble those efforts. But I think from my perspective, it's both a public health issue as well as a taxpayer issue with regard to who pays medical insurance premiums.
I understand the idea of it, and I think it's, helping people to stop smoking is a laudable effort. But how realistically does this work? I mean, is there a way to test for cigarette smoking other than, gee, you smell like cigarette smoke on your job interview? I mean, how it seems so easy to get around by just saying, no, I don't smoke.
Oh, it's, there's a simple test just simply a saliva test that can detect it. We're not advocating any of that. I think what we're mostly interested in is setting a public policy that talks about being a public agency that's involved in public health, saying we shouldn't employ smokers. But we'll do everything we can to get people who do work with us to quit smoking, and that if a person does quit smoking, they're completely employable by the county.
Yeah, and even if the supervisors say no to the ban, which it looks like they will, you don't have to comment on that, that they will say no to this, but at a minimum, as you wrote in the Star op-ed today, you would like to see what out of the meeting on Tuesday?
Well, we know that it's a known fact. It can be proven empirically with data that talks about smokers having a higher incidence of medical expenses. I think what we would like to do is, while we have 30% of our employees who do smoke, we have 70% who don't. And those 70% who don't shouldn't be subsidizing those who do with their medical insurance premiums. So we'd like to see the smoker bear the full cost of their actuarial medical experience related to smoking.
All right.
So where do you draw the line? I mean, this is the logical question. Where do you draw the line between we're not going to hire people who eat cheeseburgers, we're not going to, you know, I mean, it's you can extrapolate pretty far along unhealthy human behaviors.
A complete genetic blood test.
Right. I mean, this is
no question, you know, and what we have said and what I think all of the studies back us up is that smoking is such a clear risk to health that, you know, it is in fact unquestionable. Whereas if you deal with certain things that are genetic related, that's beyond the person's control. Smoking isn't.
All right, we've got all three lines lit up for Mr. Huckleberry, and we will hear from each of these callers, I guarantee, before we let Mr. Huckleberry go. So let's go. Tom, we'll put caller one up first. Karen, you're with Chuck Huckleberry. Go ahead.
Did you say Karen?
Yes, Karen, you're up to the plate.
Karen.
Hi.
Okay, so I've been listening for a while, and so it's kind of hard to know where to begin.
Okay, if you could summarize
last,
it.
Well, just going off on this tangent about smoking, I think Mr. Huckleberry's priority really needs to be the economics of Tucson and creating jobs. And I think he needs to focus on creating incentives to bring people into Tucson.
Okay.
Everybody knows that Tucson is an anti-business community, and that's our reputation across the nation. So I want to know what's being done to make this an attractive place for businesses to relocate.
All right.
You know, we've got Apple building a huge facility in Phoenix. Phoenix has no problem with that because they recognize the value of bringing in good employers. Like, we could have had Grand Canyon University, but oh no.
Okay.
The city of Tucson couldn't that. So, instead of being concerned about PAR.
Okay, Karen, thank you very much. We get the gist of your question there, that Mr. Huckleberry shouldn't be worrying about smoking. He should be worrying about economic development.
Karen, and yes, we do worry a lot about economic development. That's why we've created another three-year plan, 13 chapters. It's going up on our webpage, www.pima.gov, this afternoon. You can go read all probably 100 pages of it. And it has a very specific section on incentives that the county will provide for new employers. So, you know, our number one priority is just that, to get new employers into this region, to hire more people, bring people in, and pay higher wages.
Okay, Karen was caller number one. Tom, are we ready? We can go to caller number two. This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Well, hello there, gentlemen. You're talking about economics, but with Mr. Huckleberry raising our taxes, he's raising our sewage tax 12%. He just raised our property tax 24%, and he wants to do it again. We the taxpayers can't afford to keep having our taxes raised, and that's why people are going to leave Pima County, and they won't have enough money to pay the taxes because people will start leaving here. He needs to start doing other things besides raising taxes every time we turn around.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Sure, Jerry, and I think what we need to do often is get our facts correct, and our facts are that our increase in property taxes last year were about 10.8%. Maricopa County's the one that we always compare ourselves to about being so great. They raised their property taxes over 9% last year. With regard to the sewer fees, we're only talking about 4%, not 12%. And so, you know, we are very conscious about property taxes. Unfortunately, the state keeps pushing programs down on local governments. The most recent proposal of the governor was to basically not raise taxes at the legislative level or at the state level, but let's ask Pima County to contribute another $10 million to balance the state budget. Well, you know, that's got to come from somewhere. And so these are going to come out of roads, or it's going to, you know, cause the county to increase taxes. So, you know, we're caught in the middle here. We're the lowest level of government. And when the state says send us $10 million, we got to find it from somewhere.
That's Chuck Huckleberry. Joseph is going. I'm going to go to Joseph next. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah, what really bothers me is we have more problems now. I was raised here. We've had more problems, streets, everything. And you can't make this stuff up. And you're worried about smokers? I mean, where's the money going to? The taxes are so high here. The services are so low. You talk about economic development. Who would move here with the potholes that are sometimes 2 feet deep?
Okay, thank you, Joseph.
Well, Joseph, apparently TJ Maxx and Home Goods and Marshalls are going to move about 800 employees here. So, you know, it's, you know, obviously we got issues. We need to solve those issues. We need to come to grips with them. And just simply complaining about it doesn't really do much good. We need to act. And what we ought to be doing in transportation is asking our legislature to either increase the gas tax or let the voters decide.
Okay. Tom, is Ann ready? And okay. Caller number five is Ann. Go ahead, Ann.
Yes, I keep hearing this. We're only raising it, you know, 6%, 3%, 5%, whatever. But we're taxed on every frickin' thing that comes by, all the utilities, properties. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I'm a retired citizen. I'm going to be 78 next month. I can't pay my property taxes.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but... you know, this has to stop somewhere. I hear nothing about how we're going to cut costs, how we're going to live within our budget, how we're, if Pima County was a private company, they'd be bankrupt and out of business.
All right. Thank you, Ann.
The address.
Thank you, Ann.
Sure, Ann. And that's an option the board can take. They can reduce budgets, but what happens is they also have to talk about reducing service. And so it's always a difficult balancing act, but absolutely we can reduce taxes. You know, we can reduce the library district tax and reduce the hours of libraries or close libraries. So there's always alternatives.
All right. Sheldon has been waiting. Sheldon, really quickly, I'm over time, but I'm trying to be accommodating here.
Well, I always thought I planned to attend the advisory board meeting today. You say that economic development, increased tourism, the county bond package increased tourism, and at one time or another, there was a plan to build a stadium in Marana. Talking about the Northwest area, Tangerine.
I got to go, Shelton, really quickly. What's the question?
Yeah, are there any tentative plan? Hopefully they're not, that the stadium will be built in place of a downtown stadium. Built in Marana, Chuck. Do you know of any such plan?
Sheldon, sorry, probably not, because, you know, there's no movement to move teams here. We have capacity for three major league teams, but for no, you know, what can't build a new stadium with no teams.
All right, the calls are just pouring in. Mr. Huckleberry, everybody waited to the last 5 minutes, but Don, go ahead, Don, real quickly. Hello, Don.
My question for Mr. Huckleberry is how do we get rid of you?
Oh boy. Well,
sure. It's pretty simple. I serve at the pleasure of the board. I have a contract, and all you need to do is get three votes at the Board of Supervisors, and I can be terminated.
All right, one more, John. Go ahead, John. You're up with Mr. Huckleberry.
Okay, real quick here. How much money was spent for the fields that are going to be turned into soccer fields down there on the south side?
I think you're talking about the land acquisition. I think it's about $8 million.
Okay, well, that's $8 or $10 million that the state wants. If we weren't buying a lot of undeveloped land in the middle of town like that, it could stay on the tax rolls, and that money could be used elsewhere, maybe fix some potholes.
Sure, you could send it to the state if you want and not buy the land, yeah.
Yeah, but the potholes would come first on my list.
Well, you know, the potholes don't get filled with property taxes. They're gas tax related.
Okay. Thank you, everyone who checked in. And Mr. Huckleberry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Hope you have a great weekend. Sarah, don't go anywhere.
I will be here.
Okay. We'll be back on our roundtable. We're going to talk with Sarah, and then we're going to go get an update from Phoenix. Jim Small is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. He'll be with us during the roundtable. We'll be right back.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
I thought I just saw you.
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Woke up this morning with light in my eyes and then realized.
Keeping with our theme, Sarah, of the birds, Tom has dug up one of the birds' greatest hits there, Mr. Spaceman. Thank you, Tom. We heard 8 Miles High kind of earlier, and then we heard So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. Anyway, hello, everybody. It is our Friday roundtable. We thank Mr. Huckleberry for joining us, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, sticks around on our roundtable, and Jim Small has joined us from Jim is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times up in Phoenix. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Although, you know, he's got to play Mr. Tambourine Man at some point, doesn't he?
Well, he was thinking about it. He thinks it might be coming up, so that will be coming. Jim, we're going to go to you, but I want you to kind of bear with us. We're going to talk about a local story here before we go up to you, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Sarah, as you know, there's been a lot of he said, she said, he said going on with Adelita Grijalva, Dr. Mark Stegeman, both board members of the TUSD governing board. Adelita, of course, the president. She was on our show the week before last. We had Dr. Sanchez, the TUSD superintendent, on the show on Thursday. We had Dr. Stegeman on, Wednesday. Dr. Sanchez was Wednesday. Then we had Dr. Stegeman to answer accusations that were made. I don't want to get into all the accusations or rehash all of that. I want to say the bottom line, what I think here, is that a year from now, there's a very good chance that we will be, again, looking for a new TUSD superintendent.
I think you're right about that. I think the environment, and I want to make clear, I have not spoken with H.T. Sanchez about this. The precedent that TUSD burned through superintendents.
Three in the last 5 years.
Yeah, at an alarmingly fast rate. And I think that the culture within the district and within the board and the superintendent relationship was really well displayed on your show when we had Dr. Sanchez speaking about a board member very bluntly, saying he was lying, kind of calling him out, saying he was playing games.
Yeah, saying an accusation was a lie, yes, that he had said. And then playing games, that definitely came up.
And fighting in public with a board member. The flip side of that is Dr. Mark Stegeman, who has a history in the district that goes back many years, and he's not very popular with a lot of folks. He can be he would probably call it thorough. Other people might call it infuriatingly detailed. And he was on your show yesterday saying absolutely Dr. Sanchez was wrong, and he's not trying to cause problems and that, you know, sticking up for himself. The fact that these sort of things play out in public is, on one hand, as a journalist, you want to see the inner workings. It's like the inner workings of a dysfunctional family being played out at the supermarket. So you want to see that, but also it just sends such a bad message that they can't even get along in a personal way. And I know that Dr. Stegeman talks about this as about policies, not personalities, but it just keeps always going back to how people operate and the distrust.
Yeah,
and
the division now is really, I think it's so deep I don't see how they're going to come out of this without Dr. Sanchez leaving.
Yeah, and to anyone who's superintendent can attest, you can't work with a divided board. I mean, you can't, working with a divided board who's divided with among themselves with a majority and minority is one thing, but when you're openly fighting with a board member and saying hostile things, then that's a whole other breakdown in direction. And although, you know, the board majority on the TUSD governing board are big supporters of Dr. Sanchez. So I think he will probably be offered an extension. Whether he will take that, I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, he has 3 years on the contract. It will come up next year. And he said on the show on Wednesday he would honor it. But you got to wonder that he has had I don't know if they're offers. Let's just say he's had interest, as he admitted, from all over the country. Jim Small, I'm going to bring you into this conversation. Jim is the editor of the Arizona Capital Times. There is something going on, and I don't know if you checked this out, from Senator Debbie Lasko. She's got a bill before lawmakers calling for cutting the DSEG funding at TUSD over 10 years, which wipe out about $64 million that TUSD receives annually. Jim, as you know, TUSD has one of the longest DSEG cases going in the United States, but I don't know if you're up to date on that bill from Senator Lasko.
Yeah, actually, a couple of my colleagues reported on it a little bit this week, and it's something that we knew was going to be coming. We'd spoken to the advocacy group that's behind it, the Arizona Tax Research Association, which, despite the innocuous-sounding name, primarily represents large utilities and large industries where there's a lot of land ownership. APS and SRP are both involved in the group, and some of the mining companies. And they had said that they were planning on pushing for this kind of a legislation to phase out this desegregation, these property taxes that are tied to desegregation orders, primarily because they feel that it's essentially a way for school districts to get money out of taxpayers in the districts without having to actually get taxpayer approval from those folks in the districts. And so it'll be interesting to see how this bill proceeds. I mean, I know over the years the DSEG issue, especially as it relates to TUSD, has flared up occasionally down at the Capitol. And it's really being painted as an issue of equity and an issue of fairness for property taxpayers, although you know, certainly I think it's also an issue of equity and fairness on the other side of that, as to, you know, how does the district or any district, whether it's TUSD or Phoenix Union High School District, how do they comply with the agreements that they either have with the court, the court orders, or the agreements that they have with the Office of Civil Rights, and actually do what they're supposed to do without getting any additional money for it.
And I think it's interesting that, as the Arizona Daily Star had a story about this, that Senator Debbie Lesko's bill, wasn't aware that the district was still under the desegregation order, which to me seems like kind of a big detail to overlook or not be aware of. So how this actually comes to pass will unfold. But I think that kind of shows the level of interest in TUSD, but also the fact that the legislators need to really be paying attention to what's happening on the ground and pay attention to that and react in accordance to reality, not just, oh, they're done.
Jim, there's been a lot of blowback on this, the governor seeking $70 million for private prisons. We had the Arizona Board of Regents, who are meeting here yesterday at the University of Arizona, saying that this cut that's been proposed, enough is enough. What are you hearing up there, Jim?
It's really been interesting, the reaction to this proposal for private prison beds. In the past, those have been the proposals that by and large, Republicans haven't really batted an eye at, and they've, you know, Democrats have gotten upset about it, but for the most part, Republicans just kind of go along and they get included in the budget, and it's certainly a cheaper upfront option to house inmates in a private prison setting than it is for the state to go out and go through the process of building a new prison, which we haven't done in more than a decade. You know, but this year it has been really interesting because you've seen a number of really conservative legislators, folks who in the past haven't really cared about this issue, who've kind of spoken up and said, well, wait a second, why do we need to spend $70 million on these prisons, on these private prisons, and wouldn't we be better off finding ways to either get people out of prison who are nonviolent and are unlikely to be repeat offenders, or invest some of this money instead into programs that will keep people out of prison? For instance, the education system. There's a lot of studies that correlate education levels to crime rates and to recidivism, and so there's been a lot of talk about that from some unlikely sources, including Kelly Ward is a Republican from Lake Havasu City, very conservative. Debbie Lesko, who I know we were just talking about on the last issue, conservative Republican from the western part of Maricopa County, she also, you know, kind of said, well, is this really even necessary? Do we have to do this? And I think that portends maybe a rocky future for this proposal from the governor.
Well, I hope so, because it's something that, instead of just building more prisons to house more and more people, I think it is a real opportunity to do what some other states have done and take a look at sentencing, take a look at who's in prison, take a look at keeping people from going to prison to begin with. And I hope that that sort of bipartisan sentiment can get going and turn into something that is actually positive.
Yeah, you know, this whole idea of sentencing reform, which is, I know, kind of a bugaboo word for a lot of people, and maybe not the best word to describe it here, but it really is catching on. You know, there's kind of a nationwide trend. I mean, Texas recently completed a pretty major overhaul of its sentencing laws and its laws that determine who goes to prison, who goes into a diversion program, in an effort, really, to save the state money, because the prison populations there were escalating so quickly. You know, and even here, just this year, we've got a bill from Senator Steve Pierce from Prescott, again, a conservative Republican. This is a bill he's been working on with Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery, that would essentially allow some people to get out of prison early and in an effort to ease prison crowding and you know, again, on the back end, save the state some money. And so, I mean, the fact that we have people like these folks, these Republicans who are traditional law and order, you know, throw the book at them types of Republicans that are looking and seriously considering and even proposing some of these kinds of programs and these kinds of ways to keep people out of prison, I think it really says a lot about the climate that we're in and you know, where this conversation's headed.
All right, I'm just about out of time. Jim Small is with us from he's the editor of the Arizona Capital Times, Sarah Garrett Gasson, The Star. The Republic, the Arizona Republic, after the Super Bowl earlier this week, said in editorial, the board up there, where are the lightning rod bills this session? Were they being held back until all the publicity and the national spotlight from the Super Bowl was over? Are we going to see, Jim Small, some of the lightning rod, edgy, wacko bills emerge now? Or is it too late?
It's not too late. The Senate has passed its deadline for filing new bills. The House's deadline is coming up on Monday. But I'm actually skeptical that we're going to see a lot of these things come back, at least right now. You know, there's certainly, we've heard a lot of talk about Governor Ducey's team really worked hard with legislators to convince them, look, maybe let's let my first year of the governorship go by without having us put into the national spotlight for something, you know, for something like the 1062 or some of these other issues. And so far it seems as though they've really kind of bought into that message. And I think it's visible in the fact that we don't have any bills like that right now. Now, the big caveat here, of course, is that even once we get past these deadlines, any bill can rear its head at any point during the legislative session in the form of an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we get past next week and there hasn't been any, you know, the quote-unquote crazy bills filed, doesn't mean we're not going to see some of those ideas come up down the road.
Okay, Jim Small, thank you very much. Jim, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, you too.
Let's hear some more birds now. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
All right, it's Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Tomorrow is the big day. It's the Chocolate Festival, 16th annual over in Silver City. If you like chocolate, and who doesn't, it's just 3 hours to Silver City. A dozen or so gourmet chocolate tasting events in historic downtown Silver City. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Bear Creek Cabins and Bear Mountain Lodge, all over in Silver City. You can find out about all the places to stay and things to do by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. The host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and the food and beverage editor for Inside Tucson Business. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday. The sun is shining, 15 degrees warmer than average. I think it's time to break out the Buckmaster issue bathing suit a little bit early this year.
Oh, a little bit early. I mean, folks are cranking up the AC already, and 4 years ago we had 18 degrees, the coldest temperatures ever recorded in Tucson this week. You never know in the old Pueblo. Anyway, it's festival time at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, and you know, this weekend's Chamber of Commerce weather is going to make the Botanical Gardens the perfect backdrop for the second annual Savor Food and Wine Festival on Saturday from 11 to 3. Now, more than 40 of Tucson's top chefs are going to be serving up some of their best, including Carlos Calderon of North Italia and the reigning Iron Chef of Tucson, John Hone of Gringo Grill and Cantina. Now, there's also going to be some tastings of fine wine and spirits and craft beer for sipping, as you kind of enjoy the beautiful grounds of the Botanical Gardens. I think foodies are surely going to be flocking to this event, and I think it's a must for your calendar this weekend.
Oh, I love that place. Tucson Botanical Gardens, convenient midtown location. It's a beautiful place. It's Girl Scout cookie time.
Yeah, and here at the Weekend Watch, we eagerly anticipate the arrival of Girl Scout cookie season, and I'm happy to report, Bill, that it's finally here. I also love the creative ways that local chefs are incorporating these treats into their dishes, like Doug Levy of Feast, who is now featuring a cayenne caramel custard made with a Girl Scout shortbread cookie crust. Now, this Sunday, starting at 3 p.m., the folks at Tap and Bottle over at 403 North 6th Avenue, they're going to be hosting a Girl Scout cookie and beer pairing event. And, of course, that got my attention. Four cookie varieties, each thoughtfully paired with a craft beer. I'll be doing the do-si-do all afternoon. For an up-to-date cookie locator, you can check out the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona's website and plan your super sweet weekend.
There's got to be a place for those Samoa cookies, doesn't there?
Absolutely, always.
We're always doing grand openings, it seems, here on Weekend Watch, and Matt Russell brings us another one.
Yeah, things just got serious for bacon lovers, Bill, and a new restaurant just opened this week that's going to be the new home for those who pledge their allegiance to pork. It's called the Oink Cafe. Now, you can't make this stuff up, Bill. The Oink Cafe on the corner of Broadway and Cold, and the highlights of their breakfast and lunch menus is bacon, and not just one, two, or three different kinds. We're talking eight different varieties, and in the event you can't make up your mind, they feature bacon flights where you can enjoy a slice of each variety alongside your meal. Bacon is big business at the Oink Cafe, Bill, so give them a try.
All right. And in the column this week?
Yeah, a professional race car driver who grew up in Tucson has officially traded in his wheels for a go in the wine business, and he shared with me the secrets behind his success in Santa Barbara. You can read all about that, Bill, in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a fabulous weekend.
Cheers to you, Bill.
Big shout out to our friend Mike Emery and the team over at Perfection Auto Works. Thank you, Mike, for all the work you do for fixing people's foreign and domestic cars. Great operation, convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly, perfectionautoworks.com. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our team here at KVOI. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, then Ed Alexander does a great job, Ray Allen, and all of our local talk show hosts, and of course my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt. We wish you a very, very wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be back with you at 12:04 on Monday. Have a great weekend.